Sometimes we Christians think times are tough, but they never get as tough as they were for Jesus when he faced the cross. No one was ever brought from such depths and raised to such glory as Jesus. In Psalm 22, we see a man being cruelly put to death, and yet later he is seen very much alive, praising the name of God in triumph. Today, why God's purposes will always be accomplished. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a message on the triumph of the gospel. Turn with us to Psalm 22, an amazing prophecy of the death of Jesus, but also of his eventual total victory.
If we had time, we could read the entire psalm, but notice in verse 6, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by all the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." Can't you just see it? That's exactly what was said when Jesus was being crucified. If you're the Son of God, well then come down from the cross, right? All of this predicted hundreds of years before through the experience of David here in this remarkable psalm. Something else that we can really see here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that the Jewish method of capital punishment was always stoning. And yet, if you read the text carefully, what we have here is a description of crucifixion. For example, it says in verse 16, "For dogs encompassed me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Notice the phrase that I read perhaps too quickly. "They have pierced my hands and my feet." That's crucifixion. That's not stoning. Predicted hundreds of years before Jesus arrives on the scene. Well, it's a psalm of despair because in this psalm it appears as if Jesus is losing. He's cut off from the Father. He's despised by people. He's crucified. And it seems as if it is the end of a very beautiful life. But then the psalm doesn't end there. In verse 22, there's a reference, according to the book of Hebrews, a reference to the resurrection. "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." And so Jesus rises from the dead. And if you notice in verse 27 and following, we have these remarkable words of triumph. "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over all the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him they shall bow down also all who go down into the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." Wow. The triumph of Jesus. Now I want to speak about the return of Jesus to this earth. Jesus is going to return to this earth someday, and the Bible says his headquarters are going to be the city of Jerusalem. Listen to the words of Isaiah. "Many shall go and say, 'Come, let us go on to the mountain of the Lord. Let us go on to the house of the God of Jacob. For we shall walk in his ways. For the law shall go forth from Zion,'" which is a poetic name for Jerusalem, "'and the law of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" And then it says, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Jesus is going to come to this earth. His capital is going to be Jerusalem, and he shall reign triumphantly. Now, what I'd like to do is to help us to understand the extent of his rule from the text that we have just read. First of all, I want you to know that he is going to reign over the earth geographically. Verse 27, the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall bow down before you. Geographically. It says in Isaiah chapter 2 that the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth even as waters cover the sea. The extensive knowledge of the Lord God and his Son Jesus Christ will cover the earth. You see, the reason that this is important is that Jesus must triumph in the very same territory where at one time he appeared to fail, namely at his crucifixion there in Jerusalem when things looked so bleak. Jesus is going to reclaim this earth that has been cursed. The curse is going to be lifted, and Jesus shall reign to the ends of the earth. He shall be Lord over Yemen and over Morocco and over Israel and over Libya and over China and over Japan and Korea and India and Nepal and Thailand. He shall be Lord and King over Brazil and over Portugal and over Costa Rica and over Mexico and over the United States of America and even over Canada. To the end of the earth, Jesus Christ is going to rule. I want you to know that every square inch of this planet will be under the control of Jesus. When the text says to the end of the earth, it's something like the Greek in the New Testament, to the uttermost part. It means the individual part, that square inch over there in Borneo. Jesus is going to rule over that too. So he's going to rule over all the earth geographically. He's going to rule over all the earth nationally. Notice it says, all the families of the earth. Now we're speaking about different ethnic groups, over different nations, over nations that have fought against each other. Jesus will rule over them as well. For example, in Isaiah chapter 19, where you have another reference to the millennial kingdom, you have this remarkable text. I'm in Isaiah chapter 19. And I shall begin in verse 19. Thanks to those of you who brought your Bibles, I'll give you enough time to find it and help the person sitting next to you who did not bring a Bible today. It says, in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. You'll notice verse 21, and the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. Will the Lord Jehovah God and his Son Jesus rule over Egypt? Here it is in the text. Put your finger on the text. He will make himself known to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and will worship with sacrifice and offering. They will make vows to the Lord and perform them, and the Lord will strike Egypt, striking and healing, and they will return to the Lord, and he will listen to their pleas for mercy and heal them. Yes, the Egyptians will bow down to Jehovah and to his Son. He will rule over Egypt. But there's more. It says, in that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. You think, for example, of Iraq. Iraq is in Assyria, ancient Assyria. Now, at one time, the Assyrian Empire was much bigger than Iraq, but it included Iraq. And you'll notice it says, and Assyria will come into Egypt and Egypt into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. Well, you say, well, that's understandable because they have some commonality. But notice in verse 24, in that day, Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. And they are going to be united under the rule of Jesus Christ. Nations at war. Nations of different religions, terrorism. The day is coming when Jesus will rule nationally. And these countries will be in harmony worshiping the Lord. Jesus shall also rule politically. It says in Psalm 2, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And then it says, "Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron." Jesus is going to take control of this world. At that time, the curse will be lifted, but people will still die, because the people that we're speaking about will be in their earthly bodies that will be in the millennial kingdom. You and I will not be there. We'll be there with our heavenly new bodies by then, ruling with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. But Jesus is going to rule politically. There's not going to be any opposition to him. If anyone were to oppose him, they would know that they're in the presence of the Lord God, King of Israel, the one who's entirely worthy to be worshipped, and the one who will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus will reign politically. Could I also say that he will reign comprehensively? What do I mean by that? You'll notice in verse 29, now we're back in Psalm 22, verse 29, "All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive," namely all the people that have died. Just because you've died, that doesn't mean you aren't going to worship Jesus, because even those people will be raised so that they get an opportunity to worship Jesus. So every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so Jesus is going to rule. There will not be a single tongue created by God that will not give him praise. There will not be a star shining in the sky that will not somehow contribute to his glory. This is Pastor Lutzer. Isn't it wonderful to see how that the Bible has a message of hope? Despite all of the challenges that we have in life, our health issues, relationship issues, the disappointments of life, we all know how it's going to end, don't we? And the Bible says so clearly that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I always like to say that we get that opportunity to confess him in this life. But those who do not confess him to be Lord in this life most assuredly will do so in the next, even though they shall be lost forever. Because all of creation is going to witness to the glory and the eminence of Jesus. For those of you who are listening today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you've never believed on him, you've never said, "He is my Lord," I invite you to do that today. Just like David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Make it personal. And of course, when our faith is in him, we can then face tomorrow, because we're facing tomorrow with someone who's been there, who has been in all of the experiences of life, and who has even conquered our biggest enemy, death. It's all wrapped up in one word, Jesus.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of The Triumph of the Gospel, a missions conference message on the ultimate victory of God's purposes. Tomorrow, what the triumph of Jesus will mean when history is wrapped up. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Today's message can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about The Triumph of the Gospel. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.